the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, of course. We got the best of money information coming up once again with our Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. He's here with me, Johnny Dean, and we're both standing by to take your money questions. We're trying to help you meet all of your retirement goals, and we're going to start things off this hour with a look at some of the ways to get money out of your IRA before you turn age 59 and a half. Now, for whatever reason, that's the magical age that Congress has said we can remove retirement account money without penalty. I don't know why 59 and a half. Maybe Plum knows why. But anyway, the question is really, what if you want to access that money before that magical age of 59 and a half? Can it happen without you paying some kind of a hefty penalty, which I think is around 10%? And the answer is yes, it can happen, but you need to do it the right way. And it involves a code section of the Internal Revenue Code, 72T. So we're going to tell you how to do that coming up in just a moment. And by the way, because today is Tuesday, if you're watching live, we're also going to hear from our loan financial planner, Steve Allendorf. He's in studio with us in just about 15 minutes. Going to talk about current mortgage rates, along with the idea that having a lower mortgage rate could actually wind up costing you more money. Yeah, how is that possible? Well, we'll tell you, or Steve is going to tell us, coming up in just a couple of moments, right here on the program at about 15. You have a question for the Brain Trust? Sure you do. You give us a call right now. Lines are open. 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Get on board with the Brain Trust right now. You can also send us your emails. You go over to our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page, and we'll get your email and read it here in the studio. Once again, here today, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, we're bringing this hour of the program. You should know by now, and we all do, that you need a bucket strategy. You need a plan. You need one that's tailored specifically to meet your goals and your individual needs. You call the professor or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at this number, 800-644-1150. You meet with an advisor, you get your strategy set up, and get it going. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone's retirement plan is naturally different. Again, the number to reach them off the air at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. And our number right here in studio, 877-PLANNER. Anything, we're open to talking about it. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's a money-related question, we're going to be able to answer it for you here on the show, 877-752-6637. So we were talking IRAs yesterday, Professor Plum.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, and Roths and traditionals, and we never actually did get to finish that entire strategy discussion. But what came out of that was this age of 59 and a half and the concept of penalizing people for taking money out of, their, say, their traditional IRAs. There's a 10% penalty for doing so if, you, if you're not age 59 and a half.
Penalty for taking money out of a Roth IRA before 59 and a half if it's earnings. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to look at these. Also, 401ks will follow into this trap if it's from a former employer where you retired before 55. So there's all kinds of rules out there. Primarily, the one most people at least have heard about is the age 59 and a half rule, that it is a retirement account. It is designed to be a retirement account. Annuities fall into this area as well. And if you take money out, that means they want you to leave it in there. They want to build this wall between you and that money so that you leave it in there for when you're actually going to be ready to retire or when you're closer to that retirement age. And where did they come up with 59 and a half? I have no idea.
Probably the same place they found 70 and a half for requiring you to take it out at that.
It's in the 70 and a half and the 59. The 70 and a half is the year you turn 70 and a half. The 59 and a half
is the
date, 6 months after your 59th birthday. And so it does change things a little bit. But most people have heard that if you try to take money out of your IRA before 59 and a half, that there is a penalty unless you meet one of the to the penalty. Yesterday we talked about one of the exemptions, a first-time home buyer, quite a bit about specifically as Roth, because Roth gives you the advantage of not only is it penalty-free, but it can be also tax-free. Now, an IRA doesn't give you all that benefit, a traditional IRA. It only gives you the penalty-free portion of that exemption. It doesn't make your IRA tax-free, but it does allow you to use up to $10,000 of an IRA for a first-time home purchase. Helps out a lot. It can be used for either you, your spouse can take money out, or you can actually take money out of your IRA for your dependent. Now, you may not want your kids to be listening to this because they're looking to buy a house and they're going to say, well, you said you couldn't give me this big IRA, Pops. Come on, help me out here. Okay.
Well, let's hope your kids don't know about that. You know, there's certain things that they just don't need to be aware of.
But most of the time when people are talking about getting money out of their IRA before 59 and a half, it's because they're retired early and they want to start accessing the money, not just for one-time issues. And so they look at, how can I turn this retirement account into an early retirement account? What if my definition of retirement age isn't 59 and a half or older? What if my definition is 55? I've accumulated, I've been a saver, I've done very well, I've had good experience for whatever reason in the market, and I've got plenty of money in my IRA to retire, but I really don't want to pay a penalty to retire. It's a retirement account. I want to use it for a retirement account. I just don't fit the IRS's definition of a retiree because I'm not old enough in their life. So what they have done is put this exemption in. If you treat the account as a retirement income source, you can avoid the penalty. Now, what does that mean? It means that they want you to structure a based on your life. And as long as you set it up as a stream of payments based on your life expectancy, you can avoid the penalty.
This is what's known as 72T or code section commonly. 72T. When we talk, hey, I want to do a 72T election. This means you want to take money out in a form of systematic payments prior to age 59 and a half.
Another common terminology, especially with the IRS, is a substantial equal payment plan. An SEPP, if you wanted to call that.
It's a SEP.
A SEP.
SEP.
Substantial Equal Payment Plan. And the whole idea is that you don't just say, well, send me some money now because I need some money, and then if I run out of money, I'll call again. You have to set it up on a very structured payout system. And the IRS has basically provided us with guidelines on what is a substantial equal payment plan and what does qualify for that exception to the 10% penalty. Now, it's 10% from a federal standpoint, and then there have been a few states, California being one, that have an additional penalty tax at the state level, too. So taking money out from an IRA without the exceptions can be costly. Not only is it taxable, but it's penalized at the federal level and sometimes at the state level. So that starts adding up really quickly. So we want to avoid that if we can. Now, the substantial equal payment plan, the 72T payout, was a lot more popular years back when we had interest rates that allowed us to actually create a decent payment. But now, with interest rates where they are, because the IRS has given us three methods. Two of them revolve around an interest factor that so you can get a little bit of money out based on the projected growth over your life expectancy of that pool of money that you have. One of them, what they call the required minimum distribution method, doesn't include any potential growth. All they do with that one is take the current balance or the end of last year's balance, divide it by the life expectancy for how old you are this year, as decided by the IRS, and that's the number that you get to take out.
Doesn't it take into account growth or decline?
No growth or decline. Well, no, it does. From year to year, it will take into account decline.
Because you are taking money out, but balance. No more than that than that required minimum distribution.
The other two formulas take into consideration potential future growth. One is called the annuitization method. The other one is called the amortization method. They create very, very similar, because they're basically using the same idea. It's just a different factor to use, but they come up with close to the same answer. But today's interest rates mean that you're not getting much out of it more than what you could have gotten just by dividing by your life expectancy. So we don't see it quite as often. Although, right now, if you're 55 years old, 54 years old, and you want to take some money out of your IRA, it basically creates about a 4% distribution. You know, 4% distribution doesn't sound all that bad, but it is based on age. So the younger you are, the lower the distribution, because it has to last longer. The older you are, up till 59 and a half, slightly higher distribution because it doesn't have to last quite as long. Now, anytime you do this, it is based on your life expectancy. But the payments only have to continue for the longer of to age 59 and a half or 5 years. So if you started at 57, you have to continue it for 5 years. If you started at 50, you have to continue 59 and a half. So whichever is the longer period. And then you can change it. The problem is if you change it before the time horizon is up, the required time horizon. Because if you change it either on purpose or inadvertently forget and change it, now you got a penalty. And not just on the last payment. On every payment you've taken back to the first day that you started the 72T. And so while they can work, if you've been very good at saving money, up until your 40s, up 45, generally people are, we push people not to do them at an early age because there's a high likelihood you're going to screw it up. Something is going to happen that changes a payment, and it usually doesn't happen for about 10 years.
Any number of things could happen.
And then you get a retroactive 10% payment all the way, or penalty all the way back to day one.
Yes, and you're right, because you're pretty diligent about it the first few years.
Then it becomes second
nature.
And
then it becomes, and you forget, or it's just part of your routine. And then one of the years you forget, or something happens. All right, we're going to talk more about this, 72T. We're going to take a break from that and bring Professor Plum back after the bottom of the hour, because Steve Allendorf, our loan financial planner, going to join us here in just a couple of moments talking about mortgage rates and could it cost you more to get a lower rate. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Don't go away. Well, gee, it's been a little bit here. It's been a couple of weeks, but we welcome back our loan financial planner, Steve Allendorf at loan, L-O-A-N, financialplanner.com. Or 888-563-1070. You can reach Steve either way. And for the next, 10 minutes or a little bit less, you got Steve here. Welcome. I haven't known what to do with myself.
I've missed that music. If I had a cup of coffee, it'd make it perfect.
I know that. Well, you're a busy guy, and so...
I'm not here long enough to sip a cup of coffee.
No. So. You're in, you're out. this is why we do things quickly here. Okay, so very quickly, rates, where are we now? Because it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, interest rates, I mean, they've moved up a little bit in certain areas. 30-year fixed rate started as low as 3.6.
Okay.
Remember, that'll vary based on, loan type, rate, term, purchase, cash out, credit score. 7-year loans in the low 3% range.
These are the 7-1s that we talked about.
Correct. They go up higher based on loan to value and situation. 15 years around 3%. 30-year jumbo on a purchase. If you're putting 30 or 40% down, 3.5%.
3.5%? I'm still blown away by this.
Jumbo 30-year. Yeah. And on the 7 years... putting a decent amount of money down, good credit, 2.83% on a 7-year loan. Loan amount's $800-900 million is just absolutely incredible.
Decent amount, defined.
I would say 25 to 40% down. You'll get the absolute lowest rates. At least 20% down, at least on this program. Mm-hmm. Then you're looking in the high twos, low threes.
Percent is still a fairly
It is, and we might get to that before the end. There are some jumbo programs now with as little as 10% or 15% down that are phenomenal.
Okay, let's see if we can get to that.
All right.
So let's crank along here. Here was a me away, Steve. Does it always make sense to look at the lowest rate? Can choosing the lowest rate actually cost you more money? How is that possible? I sense that it's yes.
We've talked about that. We've talked about this on the show. Here's the thing that's going on right now. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and with the advent of the internet and internet lenders and all the information out there, what they're going to do to capture your attention is they're going to show you the lowest rate.
Or they're going to say, these rates are so low, our lawyers won't even let you tell us.
I won't even touch that one.
Okay, good.
But does the lowest rate always make the most sense? It doesn't. We've talked many times about when you're looking at doing a loan, you've got to look at a number of factors. What does it cost you to do the loan? How much are you saving in interest? And what's your payback? To see if it makes sense. That's the first thing we do on a refinance. But if we're comparing one rate to the other, we can do the same thing. What does it cost us to get the lower rate? How much are we saving in interest? And what's our payback on that to determine, does it make sense to do the lower rate? So I'm just going to give you an example on a borrower that took in the loan about 2 weeks ago. We were estimating a loan to value at 78%. We were at 3.75. I was paying a little bit as closing costs. So it was one-time fees. We're going to $2,600.
3.875 is the new rate?
3.75. Well, no, it was the rate I locked them in at.
Okay, good.
Okay? Right,
yeah.
Paying about $2,600 in fees, getting about $300 back at closing.
Okay.
Lo and behold, appraisal comes in significantly higher. And our loan to value goes from 78 to 63%, which improves his pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see. First of all, I knew that we were going to get a 0.5% more of his loan amount back from the lender that I was able to potentially apply to his closing costs. So if I kept it at 3.75, his closing cost went from $2,600 down to $800.
Wow.
But I wanted to see what 3.6 was. 3.6 would be at 0 points. That sounds great. But at 0 points, his one-time fees are about $3,400. So I went ahead and did the comparison. I had to adjust the loan amounts to cover the additional fees at the 3.6 and actually lower the loan amount a little bit because I was paying more for his closing costs.
An extra like $800.
Almost $1,800
yeah.
more for getting the higher appraised
right.
value.
Yeah.
So when I calculated all the numbers out, to get the lower rate, it was an additional cost of $2,600, but he was only saving $28 a month in interest.
So how do you ever make that up?
Make what up?
You're saving 28 in interest over the course of a month. I mean, eventually, you know, if
it's easy. Take the loan cost or additional cost of $2,600, divide it by the savings of $28 a month, and the payback is 93 months, almost 8 years.
Take you 8 years.
To pay back to just get that eighth of a point lower rate.
So you went from 3.75 to...
No, I'm not doing that.
No, I understand that. But that was the difference between that slightly lower rate.
Correct. So it sounds better. 3.6 and 3.7, but when you put all of the equations in the pot in this particular situation, it doesn't make sense to have an 8-year payback to get an eighth of a point lower in interest rate. So it doesn't always make sense to look at the lower interest rate.
Because lower interest rate, that will mean that you're paying less per month. But what you're not looking at, what oftentimes many people don't look at, are the fees, the costs to actually get into that.
Correct.
So they're upfront costs that you're going to have to make up. Now, if you're going to stay in the home for the 25 years, I mean, you could make a case that after 8-9 years, you've made a better deal.
Potentially, but most people don't hold mortgages that long. They could be in their property, but they don't hold mortgages for 8 years. So when I start seeing paybacks that long out, I highly recommend to let's go with the higher rate. Let's pay less in fees. You're going to get a better return on your money. If I see a payback of 4 years, then maybe, if we know somebody's going to be in the property a long period of time. Quick example number two, borrower called in, had a condo. Currently, he's paying mortgage insurance. I don't even know if we have 20% equity in the property, but the key is he's only going to have that property for up to maybe another 2 years. So we first looked at a few scenarios. I have the ability to do a mortgage loan without mortgage insurance. Increase the rate a little bit, but buying payment is significantly less by doing that than getting a little bit lower rate and doing the mortgage insurance.
Well, you get a little more of a deduction there too.
Correct.
Okay.
So we went ahead and did the calculations that I was going to save him about $270 a month in payment, about $200 a month in interest in the original scenario. That was option number one with no cost. And then with loan cost, he was saving almost $266 a month in interest, but he was paying $3,400 in fees and only $200 for the lower rate, or for the higher rate, I'm sorry. So we were looking at 4.1 with fees, 4.3 with $200 out of his pocket. Taking the lower rate would have taken him about maybe 13 or 14 months to pay back. He's going to be in the property maybe
2 years.
2 years. We're kind of close on whether it made sense or not. So by increasing the rate, only paying $200 in fees, I'm still saving him $200 a month in interest, and his payback is 1 month. So after the first month, after we're done,
because he's ahead of
the game. So now we're planning on a short-term refinance, taking a higher rate and actually paying most of the fees.
And this was a function of this person only being in the condo for maybe 2 years.
It's so important to have a loan professional do a detailed interview with you to know,
oh, sure.
What are your needs? What are your wants? What are your goals? And then if the loan professional knows what they're doing, they then can figure out what's that best loan to fit that situation. Again, in this scenario, higher rate, not a lower rate, pay less in fees, better return on the money.
That's why you got to have somebody who's actually looking out for this stuff. You're just going to go to some bank. They're going to say, well, you can get your lower rate, 3.6 instead of 3.75. You're going to take that every time, right?
Yep.
Sign the paper.
Yep.
Yeah,
and next week, I want to talk about jumbo
the
loans
jumbos.
With as little as 10 to 15% down.
All right.
Really great program.
Hold on to that. Don't forget,
I'm
we'll bring that back next week. If you need Steve Allendorf off the air, his number is 888-563-1070 or reach him online at loan, L-O-A-N, financialplanner.com. Steve, talk to you next week.
Pleasure.
Take care. Professor Plum rejoins us when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Welcome back. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money, answering your money questions right here on the radio and television program across the country. We've got more after this, too. It's just the Tuesdays are always busy. If you're watching this live on Tuesday, know that we got a whole lot more coming up. It's a Social Security show. I'm there with Professor Rick Plum every Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Social Security show only at WealthEd.com. It's online at WealthEd.com. It runs about 28 and 29 minutes, something like that. And you can learn about Social Security. You can get your questions answered. Learn about the laws. These new rules, they seem to be confusing a lot of people. Whom is it affecting? Are you over age 62? Were you 62 before the end of 2015? What about age 66? Who can do file and suspend? Yeah, it's a lot of there's just a lot of confusion out there, and we're going to try to perhaps unconfuse you somewhat on the program. But we'll also remind you that you can get this guide. Professor Plum, I think you helped put this together. The big changes coming to Social Security.
Coming or are here, actually.
Coming, that's right. Well, it was all part of this Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. There's some things that you need to know. This is something you can download, and it's at our WealthEd page. It's a big changes coming to Social Security. All you do is you go to our WealthEd page at Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, just type in WealthEd, and you'll see it there. You can also go to our website, WealthEd.com. There's a Facebook link. It'll take you right to our page as well. But you can download that there at our Facebook page. Learn about how this may or may not affect you, these Social Security changes. So once again, at Facebook.com/TheWealthEd, or just search WealthEd at Facebook. It's interesting, I will tell you that. And it can be confusing. I've read this, and I think, now I already understand it because you and I talk about it so much, but I think for the average person, it will actually help you quite a bit. So,
and there's a lot of people that are affected by it. And the other side of the question is, if I'm affected by it, is there anything I can do about it?
And the answer
may or may not be no.
Maybe no. We shall see. There are some things you can do.
Well, if you were lucky enough to be born at the right time.
That's right. And if you weren't, then just go back in time and rearrange everything. Okay. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. All right, before we brought in Steve Allador, we were talking about a way to get your money out of your IRA before age 59 and a half. If you're just tuning in, this was called Code Section 72T. Most people... No, I shouldn't say most people.
Substantially equal payment plan.
Yeah, some people are aware that you are penalized for taking money out of your IRA, just willy-nilly, out of your IRA before age 59 and a half. There's a way to get it out through Code Section 72T. Substantially equal payments for the longer of, Professor Plum?
To age 59 and a half or 5 years. Again, it's the longer of those two time horizons. That doesn't mean you set the payments up for that period of time. You use a life expectancy to determine the payments. You don't just say, well, I've got $100,000, I'm 55 years old, so I need to set up a five-year payment. I can take $20,000 a year out over 5 years. That'll last, right? That's not how the Section 72T Substantially Equal Payment Plan calculation works. They look at a 55-year-old, 54-year-old and say, that individual has a 30-year life expectancy or somewhere around that number. And so we look at it and how much can we take out each year? Assuming a current rate environment, how much can we take out and deplete it over that 30-year period of time? Not the 5 years that they have to continue it, but the 30-year life expectancy. This is a retirement account. They want it to last for your projected retirement. And your projected retirement is whatever they say your life expectancy is. You may not have that much life expectancy. That may be why you retired early, but they're not underwriting it to you.
They're doing it for everybody.
They're doing it based on the law of large numbers. Normal life expectancy.
Okay, so let's take an example. Let's make it simple. Let's take a $100,000 IRA. Somebody's got a $100,000 IRA, just to make the math simple. And their age, I don't know, 52, and they realize...
Make them 54. I've done that one.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let's back up. Let's say they're age 54.
Okay?
54, just to pick a number. And so they've got to take it out for the next five and a half years.
Yes.
Because they did it on their birthday at age 54. They need some money. So first of all, they got $100,000. They can't just take whatever they want over the course of that 5 years.
And it's going to be slightly different whether you do it on an annual basis or a monthly basis. But I was looking at, and on a monthly basis, person with $100,000 could take out about $327 a month from that $100,000. It's about $4,000 a year from their portfolio, penalty-free, as long as they continue it until at least age 59 and a half without changing it.
From this IRA, you're saying? From this one IRA.
From their $100,000 IRA. Now, if you have $1 million, you know, it's 10 times that much. If you have, you know, $10,000, it's
one-tenth
of that amount. So, I mean, it does interpolate up and down pretty easily, but it's, you just have to calculate it. Now, it's about a 4% withdrawal at a 54. The younger you are, the lower the payment is going to be because it has to last a longer period of time. So it is something that we're looking at. Now, just for the sake of why we don't see this very much, if this same person was trying to do this back in 2000, in March of 2000, instead of $326 a month, they would have been able to get $720 a month from their IRA because interest rates were a lot higher back in 2000.
What were they allowing you back then? About 8%?
Just under 8% as an assumed interest earnings. Now, back in 2000, when people were doing 72 Ts, they were complaining that 8% was just too low because in the market, they were averaging 20% a year. Yeah, for a little while, but then the rooster came home to crow and they lost a lot of money at that point. So it's all about what is reasonable. That, and in fact, back in 2000 and before that, the IRS just said, use whatever you think is reasonable. They didn't have any strict guidelines. They said you had these three basic methods, but for an earnings rate, just use a reasonable rate of return. And people were using 12, 15, 20% as quote unquote reasonable.
So if they had a $100,000 IRA, we're taking $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 per year out of this IRA.
Because they were assuming that they could continue to earn 15, 20% a year like they had for the past 3 years in the market. Obviously, that didn't continue, nor should they have ever expected that to continue. And so the IRS came down and clamped down and said, okay, no more giving it up to you to be reasonable. You've already shown you can't be reasonable. We are going to dictate what the rate is, and they tell us what the rate is. And right now, the rate that we can use for calculating a 72T is about 1.2%. Not very much. And so that's why I think one of the reasons we just don't see 72Ts very often right now, because the payouts are fairly low. And so we just don't see them as much as we did 10 years ago.
I mean, they say, what's the point, especially if I'm 50 or 45 and I'm fairly young and I'm going to have to do this for the next 15 years. It's not going to give you a whole lot of money anyway.
No, but hey, it's a 4% distribution. People may say, well, you know, 4% sounds okay. Typically, somebody at 55, 54, though, wants a little higher distribution because then when they get to 62 or later, their Social Security kicks in and they can drop down, or they get to 60 and a pension starts, they get to 65 and a pension starts. So they're actually trying to bridge an area of no income until they can have their pensions and Social Security. And so the 4% doesn't really work for them in that rate. And so a lot of times they just look at it and say, well, guess I have to keep working. So it's all a matter of how does it fit into your world. But yeah. Remember also, let's say we did start taking that $4,000 a year out. And then just before we got to the 5 year mark or the 59 and a half year mark, we said, well, my pension started and I don't need it anymore. I started at 58, whatever it was. So I shut off the income. And now I shut it off too soon. And so I've taken 5 years of penalty-free withdrawals, but now I shut it off just a little bit too soon. I now have a penalty on all of those distributions I took up to that point because I did not fully satisfy the time commitment for the 72T. That penalty can get fairly large. I mean, we're talking about 4, 5, 6 years worth of payments. The earlier that you start it, the more that the penalty would be because you have more years that you're going to get penalized on. The earliest I've ever seen anybody start it, and I'm sure there have been people that started earlier than this, were somebody in their late 30s.
Wow.
And the reason for it actually made some sense, at least in the theory. Both were fairly high wage earners. Both had done very well in their portfolios. Both had fairly high balances, especially for late 30s individual, multiple hundreds of thousands all. I think the wife in this case had like $400,000 in her 401k. And they had kids later in life at 30 age, and they wanted one of the parties to stay home with the kids. But they couldn't afford the house that they wanted for the kids on only one income. They needed help with the mortgage payment. And so at the time, they were able to do a 72T on the spouse's $400,000 and create enough of a payment to make the mortgage payment. And it was going to last for 30 plus years. I mean, the mortgage was going to last 30 years. So it was almost a wash on the payment versus what they were paying on their mortgage. So for them, it made sense to do what they wanted to do because they could stay. He could continue to work. He could continue to save, but they could continue to do this other area. And then at some future, if she, when the kids got older, she could go back to work. That was her plan. And so they did that. I thought it was a little bit early.
But it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done. Now I'm sitting there wondering, well, $400,000 in your late 30s. What did my 401k have it?
400.
I think there was a four and a couple of zeros.
The decimal stopped there.
I think it may have. I don't recall, but it was right around, 2000-ish. 877-PLANNER. Call now. We got lines open. Money strategies discussed when we come back. Answering your questions here on the program, 877-PLANNER. We got some lines open right now. So if you're inclined to call because you got a money question, you want it answered right now, that's a great way to do it. 877-752-6637. We'll answer your money questions here. And by the way, an email form at wealthed.com. We'll get to some of your emails in just a couple of moments. We had some questions on the 72T that I want to get to in here in just a sec. But I also want to remind you, too, that we will answer your questions in person. This is a great way to do it, by the way. At any one of the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops, they're presented by Lucia Capital Group. They're happening across the country and over the next several weeks. So if you want to know where the Brain Trust is going to be, if you'd like to know if they're coming to wherever you happen to be watching or listening to this show, you go to our website, wealthed.com. And you can sign up for any of them. If you happen to be traveling around, you say, hey, I'm going to be in the city at that exact time that the Brain Trust, hey, come on by. It's free. You just have to bring your money questions, and I think you're going to learn all about retirement income strategies. There are challenges, there are strategies, ways to actually improve, perhaps, your retirement income situation. Nobody wants to run out of money before they run out of time. So go to wealthed.com at the live events tab. Look at it there. You'll find out where the Brain Trust will be over the coming weeks and months. wealthed.com. And you get to meet Professor Plum, which is kind of a cool thing. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number. I had a question on the 72 T's. Regarding these 72 T's, this is from David. What do I do if I have multiple IRAs? What if I don't need as much as whatever the formula is giving me?
Well, for many years, we've been able to potentially tailor the distribution. Right now, the distribution is fairly low, so most people don't tailor it down. But in the old days, somebody dollars and they can get $80,000 a year from it. Maybe they only wanted $50,000. So what they would do is they would back into how much they wanted in their IRA and then basically identify either that one or a series of IRAs as part of the 72T under the 72MT umbrella, leaving the other ones outside of it. And so you couldn't touch those, you couldn't commingle them, and you could tailor it a little bit. So you could, lessen the impact of the 72T from the start. Whether or not that is going to continue, the IRS just doesn't seem to care that much about the fact that we're kind of splicing hairs here. They usually like to look at the account the IRA as a whole rather than as by account, but in this area they've allowed it to go by. Now, where you're going to have problems when you use multiple accounts for your 72T is in the tax reporting. Because what happens is if you have all of the money with one IRA custodian, in many instances, that IRA custodian will do the math for you and tell you, okay, your 72T payment is X. Your substantial equal payment plan provides a payment of X. And so they set it up, they certify it, they know what's happening. And so when they issue you your 1099 for the year, it says, 1099R says, this is a taxable amount, but there's a code down there in box 7, and it says, this is an early distribution. Yes, we understand he's not 59.5, she's not 59.5, but an exception to the penalty applies. And if it's coded that way, then the IRS doesn't even bother looking for an exception. However, if we've got multiple different accounts and I may be taking principal and interest from this account, leaving this account to grow, I just needed this separate account to have enough money in there to get the 72T. Well, the IRA custodian that's sending you the money is looking at it, they're saying, well, He's got 100,000 with us, and he's taking 30,000 a year, 20,000 a year. That doesn't satisfy 72T. That's way too much. And so they don't know about the other accounts that you're using, and they'll say no known exceptions. So you're receiving your 1099, and it says penalize them. And so if all you do is put that 1099 into your tax software, and you put in the code because you don't know any different, then it automatically kicks in a penalty because it doesn't realize that it's a 72T. Because the IRA custodian, when they told the IRS that you were taking a taxable distribution, also told them, hey, as far as they know, this is not a substantial equal payment plan. And so then it's up to you to file another form. It's not difficult. It's just you have to follow the right methods, cross the right T's, dot the right I's, and you file a form 5329 that says, yes, I know I received a penalty or a 1099 that said a penalty, but it's not a penalty for the following reasons. Now you put in the right code, and now the IRS and your tax preparation software will say, oh, okay, we got it. We understand. Stay away. So you just have to understand that. Unfortunately, sometimes there's a miscommunication between the individual client and their tax preparer. You know, you set it up with a financial advisor. The financial advisor says, make sure you tell your tax preparer that this is part of a 72T. This usually only happens in the first year, where it's a partial year or something, and it's the first 1099. So they get the 1099, and it says no known exception, but they forget to tell the tax preparer about the fact that it's a payment plan. Tax preparer just takes it and puts it in and says, okay, they took money out of their IRA.
Right, and it's going to be subject to a penalty, and that's what the answer they tell the IRS. Sure.
And because most people, you know, the accountant, the tax preparer, whoever it is, says, hey, your refund is going to be, you know, $627. They're like, oh, good, I'm getting a refund. But they didn't realize that it would have been $2,000 if they hadn't been paying the penalty. And so, unfortunately, it is important to know whether or not it's being penalized or not being penalized. Now, make sure it's accounted for correctly.
Now, did you answer this? David asked, what if I don't need the as much as what they're going to give me? Are you just out of luck?
Well, there's two things. It may be that you want to take the distribution anyway because it's in the tax bracket that is lower than it will be in the future. Or, like I said, if you've got $1 million IRA and it's going to create a $40,000 distribution, but you only need 30, and you can tell me for sure that you're not going to need any more for 5 years or until age 59 and a half, then what you can do is carve off an appropriate amount of money into a separate, distinct IRA and just 72T that one IRA to create the appropriate amount of income, leaving alone the second or remaining IRAs so that they're not part of the 72T. So we have seen that, and where people, you know, this is back when interest rates were a little higher, they could get a reasonable amount of income from a portion of their portfolio. They left the other portion alone. And then later on, of course, they said, oh, wait a minute, I need some more money. Well, you can't get it from the 72T without creating the IRAs that you've identified under the umbrella of the 72T. You can't get it from there without violating all past distributions. But they have these other IRAs. Maybe they even created the other IRAs after they started the 72T. And so they can take it from there and pay the penalty only on that one distribution. So there are ways to do things. And the other side of it is, what if I go back to work and I don't need this money at all? Can I shut it off if I'm not retired anymore? No, you can't shut it off.
No, you have to keep doing it.
You got to live up to the 5 year or 59 and a half, whichever is longer timetable.
Which is why if you're going to do one of these 72T elections, as they're known, check with your financial advisor to make sure that you've got everything in a row, because you're going to have to continue this for 5 years or 59 and a half, whichever is longer. Which means if you're in your late 30s, you're going to be doing this for a long time. Another hour coming up, but if you need the Brain Trust off the air, Professor Plum, to talk to him about any of this stuff or anything else that's on your mind, the advisors at Lucia Capital Group can help you out at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. We're coming right back, I promise, with more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.